Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome to another podcast episode from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. It's great to have you joining with us. I'm Pauline Kennedy and I'm PCI's Women's Ministry and PW Development Officer, and I'm your host for this episode. In this week's episode, we will consider how we can be transformed in Christ as we study God's word and take it to heart and put it into practice. We want to think of ways about how we can do this for ourselves and what maybe some of the obstacles and pitfalls are in that. We also want to think about how we can live transformed lives that make a difference in our broken world. Today I'm joined by three women who have a real passion for God's word and have a real desire to live transformed lives for Christ. Each of them is involved in serving in different aspects of ministry, but all share the same desire to encourage others to live for Jesus. They have a variety of experience, and I trust that our conversation together will generate helpful learning and practice for all of us. Ali, you're very welcome. Ali Calvin is currently the rector in the parish of Kilkeel, and she is also a regular conference speaker. And we're delighted that she will be our guest speaker at our Women's Annual Conference in the Assembly Buildings here in Belfast on Thursday, the 4th of May, 2023. Louise Davison is our deaconess for PCI, and she lives and works in Westchurch in Bangor and is involved in different aspects of ministry there, but has a particular passion for women's ministry and is involved in that in Westchurch. Esther Parker is currently the president of Presbyterian Women, and she also is involved in writing resources for women's ministry within PCI. I want to thank all of you for being willing to take part in this conversation today. And to get things started, can I ask you just to introduce who you are, where you're from, and tell us a wee bit about yourselves. And I'm going to start and hand over to Ali.
Hi, I'm Ali Calvin. As you've said, I'm currently the Church of Ireland Minister in Christchurch in Kilkeel. I was born between Markatil and Armagh. Went to school, lived there, studied languages, French and German, at university, and then on the back of that became a teacher in Markatil High School. But always I had known this call to, from I was very young, to serve God. So after I taught for a couple of years, I went out with Youth for Christ and served in France there as a missionary. From there I went to Bible College in England in a place called Kingdom Faith. And then worked there for a few years as a Bible teacher, and from there I went to Dublin to train for Church of Ireland ministry. So it's been a bit of a curvy journey. Spent almost 11 years in a lovely wee parish in rural County Cavan, a place called Killeshandra, before coming to Kilkeel just 3 years ago.
Louise.
Well, I'm Louise Davidson. I'm married to Barry. I have two grown-up children, and we live in the Arch Peninsula in a wee village called Grey Abbey. I'm currently serving as a deaconess in Westchurch Bangor, which is now joined with Kilkeely. And this really involves me overseeing the women's ministry within the church, as well as the community as well. I also serve pastorally in Western Kilkeely, and I would preach once a month. I love people. I love a good yarn with folk. I love hearing about people. I love having a bit of crack and a good laugh. And also I'm well known for taking a good selfie, which I can do all these things with a good cup of coffee in my hand. So that's just a wee bit about myself.
Thank you. Esther.
Hi, I'm Esther Parker. I'm married to Bill, and we have four adult children. Three girls and a boy. We also have one daughter-in-law, one wee grandson, and we're looking forward to meeting our second grandchild in about 4 weeks' time. I spent the first 40 years of my life living in Lisburn. Like Ali, I've had a bit of a twisty journey, so it's a bit too long to go into. The last 20 years, however, I've been moving around the country as Bill was called to various congregations in PCI. We are currently in St. Chrysemons Presbyterian Church in North Belfast Presbytery. And along the way, I've had the privilege of being involved in various PW groups, Presbyterian Women groups, teaching Girls Brigade Bible classes, leading women's Bible studies, And I've also spent the last few years serving on the Presbyterian Women panel and the subgroup that writes the Inspirations resources. So that's me.
Thank you. Great to get to know each of you. Can you share a time when you really felt that God transformed, did a work of transformation within you, either in your attitude or through a particular circumstance? And what difference did this make to your life? I'm going to start this time with Esther. You want to answer that?
I very clearly remember the first time I was struck by a verse that has been a wee bit to the forefront in past years, but it's a wee bit in an obscure place. It's in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17, and it says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." And it was especially that last phrase, "He will exult over you with loud singing." And at the time when this verse really struck me, I was very focused on the fact that I don't deserve anything from God. And focusing on myself was having negative effects on my life and my service to the Lord. It is true, it was true then, and it will always be true that I deserve nothing, but I needed to see something amazing beyond that. Yes, it will always be a fact that I don't deserve anything the Lord gives me, salvation, love and his care, but it's also a fact that God exults over me, that he sings loudly. God doesn't say that my sin doesn't matter, and neither should I. But in spite of my sin, God is with me. He saves me. He rejoices over me with gladness. He quiets me with his love and he exults over me with loud singing. The fact that I deserve nothing makes God's love for me even more amazing. So knowing both my lack of merit and, as Paul describes it in Ephesians 1, the riches of the grace that God has lavished on me, turns my focus towards God in praise, love, and willing service. Maybe not always perfectly, maybe definitely not always perfectly, but when I think about that, that's what it does. So that brought about a change in my thinking.
That's just great, Esther, thank you. Louise, what about you?
Well, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up knowing all about God, knowing about him, but I didn't know him personally. And it wasn't really till I was 27 years of age that I came to know the Lord personally. I often had given my life to the Lord, and many occasions I often said I was like Kate Winslet of the I was saved more times than Kate Winslet of the Titanic. But I suppose really I was going along doing life, getting involved in things in church, doing going to Bible studies and that. But I suppose it was really about 13 years ago that a change came in my life. I was told I was diagnosed with a tick by gold cells and my womb that were about to turn to cancer. Thankfully, I had the operation and all went well. I required no treatment. Everything was taken away at the operation. But during my time of recovery, I suppose, I really was going deep with God. I knew this was, I never really, I suppose, in a way, questioned why. Sometimes which can be a good thing and maybe not a good thing. But for me at that time, I knew God was in control. And I just had that deep peace within my heart that everything would be okay. But it's a well-known verse in Scripture, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose. Well, it was really the last part of that verse that I thought has been called according to his purpose. Well, I knew I was first and foremost called to God and my relationship with him, but I started questioning what was my purpose. What was my walk with Jesus to be like? What was, and I always felt a call to the diaconate. I always was interested in what deaconesses did, their work, what it involved. If a deaconess was speaking somewhere, I always would have went along to hear them, always interested in PW. But yet I never felt good enough. I never felt serious enough. or that I could even do this. Yet it was through this storm of circumstances that I am serving as a deaconess today. I haven't it all figured out. I never will have yet. And I suppose I'm still love a bit of crack. And that's what it's not about, as we know, God. I used to think that you couldn't have a laugh if you were a Christian. It was all about the do-nots instead of what Christ did for me and all of us on the cross. And it's only in God's strength that I can do what he has called me in my role and work. The difference that has made to my life has been amazing. It's encouraging, not only to me and my family, but also it's been very challenging at times. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say it's been paint a beautiful picture, but when God calls, he equips. I was turned down the first time for the diaconate and I was gutted at that. I thought, you know, well, what is happening, God? I've read all the signs correctly. And about 2 days later, when I got my nice Dear John letter to say thanks but no thanks, I came across a quote, and it said, God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. And that led me to going on, and I thought, well, maybe if it's academia that is required, and I went and studied a degree in theology. I was doing a diploma at the time. But time and time again, and I say that about the degree because that was God transforming me to be able to do it. Yeah. I spent my life outside the classroom door. You know, I was a teacher's nightmare. God has proven time and time and time again to be faithful, to be loving, and to be gracious. And if he can transform my life, he can transform anyone's. And he is still transforming me to this day. So that's really, it was Romans 8:28 that really, I suppose, made a big difference in my life.
Thank you, Ali.
That's a difficult one because there's so many things you could choose. But of course, the biggest transformational time is, I suppose, for anybody, the moment when you do become a Christian.
Yeah.
For me, that happened when I was very young. I was only about 5. And my cousin had just been killed, actually. His bike, somebody's car drove into his bike and he'd been knocked off his bike and he had died. And he was only 8 or 9 at the time. I was 5. And I remember hearing people say to my aunt, don't worry, he's in heaven now. And the verse that I'd been learning in Sunday school was that verse that says, except you be converted and become as little children, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven. And I was only a little child, but I thought, well, that means me too then. As a little child, I can enter the kingdom of heaven. I can be converted. You know, I can put my trust in Jesus.
Yeah.
And I want to be in heaven. If anything happens to me, I want to be there too. And so a very childlike way, I gave my life to Jesus when I was just, I remember clearly Saturday night, my brother was watching Match of the Day, going on in the background. So that was very real for me, and I did enter into a relationship with Jesus from that time on, and he became really very real to me. But, you know, as I grew older, maybe my Christian life became a wee bit more of a duty than a joy. Do you know the way sometimes you read your Bible because you know you should, and you pray because you know you should? But I hadn't really got that joy of being a Christian. And really, I suppose the most transformational time, apart from becoming a Christian in my life, was when I began to explore and engage with what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I remember I was actually preparing to go out to France as a missionary with Youth for Christ when somebody asked me. I remember saying to them, listen, I know that God is calling me to do this, but there's something missing and I don't really know what it is. And the person said, have you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And my reply to that was, well, sure, don't you get the Holy Spirit when you're born again? You know, when you're born of the Spirit, when you're born from above. And they said, yes, but there's a fuller kind of baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I was a wee bit skeptical about it, to be honest. So I went back to scripture and I looked at Acts chapter 1, where Jesus says to his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power, it goes on down in verse 7, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So I began to ask the question, well, where does God talk about this? Where does he promise this? And so I began to explore, okay, this Holy Spirit thing really is something to be explored. And I remember saying to somebody at one stage, but you're talking too much about the Holy Spirit. You know, and I was very comfortable with God the Father and God the Son, but God the Holy Spirit was a wee bit of a mystery. In the Anglican Church, we grew up calling him the Holy Ghost. So you really do want to shy away from that, don't you, as a child? But then, then somebody showed me the verse that says, but God is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so I was prayed for, and I don't know, I can't describe what happens. I don't know whether to use the word baptized in the Spirit or the Holy Spirit that was in me, welled up within me. But from that moment on, my walk with Jesus, my walk with God was really transformed. The Bible came alive to me when I was reading it. I could see God speaking through it. You know, it was just prayer became a joy. There was a new sense of intimacy with God. It was just a real transformational time. And I mean, you have to go on growing, and that obviously is not a once for all. It's go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a daily thing.
Thank you so much. So good to hear just how God changes us. It is a miracle, isn't it? It's incredible to hear what he does in people's lives. So thanks for sharing that. Our new theme that we're going to be thinking about in our annual conference, and Ali is going to come and speak on that, is taken from Romans 12, where it tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, as Ali has been sharing. And I wonder, can you share with us some things that you find helpful as you journey this life, which isn't always easy? Ali, can you share something on that?
I think one of the big things that I had to learn, and this is going to sound like but learning to believe what God's word says, and really learning to take his word as if God says it, then it's true. And as Esther was saying, one of the big things for me was actually believing that God loves me. You know, we learn that as a child, Jesus loves me, this I know. But sometimes we live with knowing it in our heads, but not really living like we're loved. You know, and moving into that place of love and living as daughters of the King, you know, and claiming our rights and our, you know, our, you know, he says every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is yours, but we don't always take hold of them. So for me, just learning to really believe if God says this about me, then it's true. If God says I am blessed, then I am blessed. If God says he's given me this, then I have it. You know, and one of the things for me that was really transformational as well was, you know, the verse in John chapter 10 where Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. You know, and it was radical for me to think that at one stage that I could hear God, that I could actually hear God speaking to me. You know, you brought up praying, saying your prayers to God. But that whole thing of, hold on, I need to stop. And sometimes I need to give God space to speak, and I need to listen to what he's saying. And what a privilege to think that we can know God's voice, that we can listen to him and hear him speak. So making space and time for God to speak, but also just taking hold of the word. And sometimes that has to happen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So speaking out loud, you know, so actually saying, the Lord loves me. You know, the Lord loves me. Saying it out loud until it drops from your head, as they say, the longest journey from your head to your heart. You know, I am an overcomer. I am, because the word of God says, in Christ I am an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because the word of God says I can. You know, just living in, allowing, I suppose it's allowing the word of God to dwell in you richly. You know, to let that word dwell in you and to become truth in you. I think that has been something that has been a journey for me.
Very good, yes. What about you, Louise?
Well, as you know, renewing our minds, it often can be difficult. We can get something stuck in our minds, and especially something negative, but we'll let that go round and round and round in our minds. But it's getting to that point where I asked myself, well, I remember one time, am I letting God's word fill my mind with his truth? Just really like the promises of God, who I am in Christ, and what he has done for me. I know that those words from John 15, remain in me as I remain in you, and just about letting the word of God remain in not only our minds, but into our heart. Believing, as we were saying earlier, that God does love us, that he loves me. I am who he says I am. Each morning, even before I awaken, I have a wee app on my phone, and I try to get into God's word there and then. And it's just one verse in the morning before I would get up, and just to let that penetrate, just to percolate really through me while I'm getting up, getting ready, before I would come to, I suppose, what some would call a quiet time in the mornings, or as we know, sometimes that could get, it can be in any time throughout the day. But it's just having that to chew it over and to pray I love just even using different resources through different writers or that. And I often journal too. I find I can, if I write down something, I mix it up. I'm a bit, and one time I remember on a few different occasions, I remember one time that I've taken just Psalm 23, just even one word from it each day and journaling on it and just what God was saying to me personally through that each day. Because sometimes we can get into this where we are preparing for something or we need to do a sermon or a talk or we get into the context of it. But just coming day and daily to God's word fresh. Just even through worship songs as well, I suppose, podcasts and different sermons. Just one of my favourite verses of all time, and it was the verse that probably that really helped me commit my life to the Lord, from Psalm 34 verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good, that God knows that food is a big part of my life. So to get my attention, it was through food. And he was saying to me, Louise, come and taste and see that I am good. You know, even though I knew I good, but I have tasted and I've seen for myself. So just to let the Holy Scriptures review my mind and my heart and my soul, just through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I think we need to saturate ourselves and our minds with God's word, but we also need to be intentional. Be intentional, and it becomes part of your daily life, like cleaning your teeth, like whatever, you know. So just to keep saturating my mind throughout the day.
Yeah, I think what you're both saying is similar thing about, you know, how God's word, we need to be intentional about it. We need to allow him to illuminate through his spirit, you know, the scriptures that we read, and that we are intentional, that we speak it out, as Ali said, as you have said, you know, it's you know, we can have the head knowledge, but we have to have it in our heart. And that is so important. And I think we can sometimes just kind of muddle through and not be intentional and not speak out the truth of God's word. And as Esther had said earlier, you know, what God sings over us, and knowing that he loves us, and to constantly remind ourselves of that, I think, is so key. I think so often as Christians we find it easy, don't we, to sit in church and listen to sermons and sing songs and even pray lengthy prayers, and yet we can still struggle with this whole area of knowing scripture and digging deeper, taking it to heart and all of those things and putting it into practice. So we have kind of talked a wee bit about how we can get into God's word for ourselves, but sometimes there are kind of challenges in that and obstacles and pitfalls for us. Esther, maybe you could share a wee bit on that area for us. You know, what are those? What do those look like, and how can we overcome them?
Yes, I was thinking of this on a very sort of practical level. And I think where it starts is that we do need to realise that we need to know scripture for ourselves, and that we get to know God through his word. So for that relationship with God to become more personal, our need is to spend time with him personally, and not just in a congregation or a small group, important though those are. It's something we need to do individually for ourselves as well. And I think after that, it begins with the decision. I'm going to do this. It's back to the being intentional, and continues with perseverance. It does take an effort, and I think we have to realise that. It's helpful to have a plan. When am I going to do it? Where? What exactly will I do? But it's absolutely necessary to take time just to sit with God's word and to let him speak through it as we listen. And that's perhaps one of the obstacles, because we focus on what we do, and we do the talking and we do the reading, but we need to stop and listen to God and sit with his word. Other obstacles would be maybe getting into that mindset where you're just ticking the box for today. You know, what's the passage I have to read for today? Right, I've done that, move on, read it, stop, get up, go do something else. Or maybe even we get to the point where we feel it's something that we're doing to earn favour from God, you know, like you went for a coffee and get points on your app or a stamp on your card. Definitely just not about what we do. It's about taking the time to sit in God's presence and listen to him. And then, of course, that can bring its own problems, because you think, well, actually today or this week or in this season of my life, I don't have the time to do this properly.
Yeah.
So if I can't do it properly, I'll not bother doing anything. And I think that's where the perseverance comes in. I mean, even if sometimes all you can do is read that one verse and pray as you're driving down the road or walking or whatever, to do something, not to do nothing. And as Louise was saying, to get that into your head, that verse, whatever it is, and let it filter through your life that day, that is something. So we need to not be tempted to do nothing just because we haven't got half an hour, an hour, whatever to take to set aside that time to think and to listen. Having said that, if we are going around with that attitude of even that one verse, whether it's the one verse that you've read or one that has jumped out at you from the passage you've been reading, that has a side benefit of helping us to learn to live in the knowledge that we're always in God's presence. But we do need those times of drawing aside with God's word. It's not easy, but there are often many obstacles we can't control, interruptions from the outside. Life happens in the family and things maybe need dealt with straight away. There are things we can't control, but we need to persevere, and that out of a knowledge that this is something that we really need. And I think the more we do it, the more we realise we need it.
Yeah. Thank you. Ali, what about yourself?
Yeah, well, I would agree with all that Esther has just said, so I'll not go over that again. I kind of see the word of God as a wee bit like our daily, like the manna, you know, that has to be gathered fresh every day. And you wouldn't dream, unless you're having a specific fast day, of going a whole day without food for your body.
Yeah.
And so we need that food for our souls. But yeah, all those things, sometimes it's just so difficult, especially for busy women are busy, you know, especially if they're young children and they're working a job, and there's all kinds of things. But that's what the devil loves to do, isn't it? He loves to come in and distract us from the word of God and try to keep us from it, because he knows we need it, and he knows our intimacy with God suffers when we don't, when we go a long period of time without eating or feeding our souls on the word of God. Some ways that I find really helpful, well, there are three different ways in which I come to the word of God, primarily. And I mean, one is to study it, to really understand the passage, and maybe I'll look up some of the words and see what's really being said here. Who's it being said to? Do you know those study tools?
Yes.
And just really wanting to academically understand the word. Mm-hmm. And that's good. That informs the mind, you know, and that's really important. But I've learned as well that that is not enough for me. And I don't think it's really enough for anybody. It's good to have your mind informed and understand the word, but there's a place for understanding the word with your heart too. Because God tells us these words are your very life. You know, they're life to your soul, but not just life to your mind. And I'm not saying switch off our minds, because that would be wrong. So for me, there are two ways in which I come to listen, and to listen with my heart as I read the word of God. And one is that practice, I don't know if you've heard of it, called Lectio Divina. I'm sure most of our listeners will have heard, where we simply read a passage very, very slowly, and maybe only three or four verses, a short passage, and then read it again really slowly, stopping after every phrase and just allowing God to impact us through that. And if there's one phrase then that really sticks out in that passage, just to sit with it and ask God, what are you saying to me through that today? Because I do believe that God has a word for us for today, and not just the wee booklet that we read, a word for today, but you know that he has a word from his... The danger with those wee word for today readings, and they're brilliant, and so many people get so much from them, and I really love them too, but sometimes we read what the commentator has said, and we don't go back to the word of God.
And
always encouraging people to go to the word and allow God to speak to you through that. So that whole just sitting with a passage and listening to it. There's another thing that I've only discovered really quite recently, within the last maybe 5 or 6 years, but which I really love to do, is to put myself in the passage. So really it's called reading with imagination, where you, for example, the story where the little boy brings his lunch to Jesus, you put yourself in the shoes of that little boy and you imagine the whole scene and you walk through it with scripture, but putting yourself in it. And then at the end of it, just sitting there, everybody else is gone and Jesus and you are alone. You know, what does he say to you? What do you say to him? What's going on there? You know, and I find that really, really useful as well. So being imaginative about how we listen to God through his word, while not erring from his word, obviously keeping the, you know, so there's a place for all of those things, isn't there? We need a balance of them all. But certainly allowing the word to be more than informing the mind and really a place where God speaks to our hearts, I think is important. Important if we want to grow in that intimacy with him and that being transformed by him.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. There's great ways and great ideas out there, isn't there, you know, to help us. And it's just embracing those and taking time with them. I think as believers, we know we're being transformed by the Holy Spirit. Well, we do hope we are on a daily basis, as you have all been sharing. And it's not, I suppose it's reminding ourselves too, it's not just for our benefit because we become very inward looking, but it should also, we should also want to share that with others. And we're reminded again by Paul in Romans 10, where he kind of asks a string of questions that are meant to stir us up to share our faith with others so that they too will be transformed by Jesus. And sometimes we struggle with that aspect, don't we? We kind of, it's all right, God's transforming us, but what is he transforming us for? What's the purpose of that? And it's not just for our edification, it's for the benefit of others. So I wonder just what some approaches that you might be thinking of that we can adopt to help others, to help ourselves come alongside others and help them to know Jesus, maybe first of all, but also those who are struggling, and this kind of whole idea of coming alongside others to help them grow deeper and to be transformed as well, and sharing our lives with them. Any ideas on that, Ali?
Well, yeah, I think one of the most important things is to be transparent and open about our own walk with Jesus. So as you're living amongst people, like, I think conversation about Jesus, conversation about our faith, conversation about what we've been reading or what we believe God has been saying to us should be the same as talking about the weather.
Trying to make
natural rather than, you know, big, oh, now sit down, I want to talk to you about Jesus kind of thing.
Yes.
I was reading this morning and this, you know, this really impacted me today, you know, and just kind of bubbling over with God, I suppose, and with his, you know, whatever we're living through. I find sometimes if I've encountered God in some kind of a way in the morning or a verse has become particular to me in the morning, that often I'll meet people throughout the day for whom that is also a real word in time, do you know what I mean? So it's just bubbling over with what we are receiving from God and sharing it with others. So living naturally, I suppose, the gospel, just living it out. So I suppose there's ways in which we can be more intentional, like we Bible study groups. I think it is really great to get a small group of people together and just say, hey, do you fancy reading the word together? Well, maybe just setting the passage even, or you know, you can go through a course, but just I love to keep things as natural as possible. This is just how we are. This is just what it is to be a Christian. Let's just really enjoy this. Let's be honest, let's be open, let's share as we go along, you know, and the Bible can really come to life, you know. And I love, we do a wee Bible study with, it's called the Way of the Spirit Bible reading course. And what I love about it is it actually takes you through the whole Bible, because we're very focusing in on certain passages, but we've just done the book of Judges. And the amount of things people got out of the book of Judges, you know, things that they saw and that God sort of impacted their hearts with through the book of Judges, mighty. Do you know, so, and I love sitting there, even as the church leader, you know, as a minister, I love sitting here and what other people saw in it.
Yeah.
You know, and I am like seeing, they're seeing things that I'm not seeing, do you know, and putting them all together is a really rich experience. So if people are up for a wee bit of Bible study, that's one way that I love to do it. But also just being willing and brave enough when somebody's telling you, you know, I'm going through this right now and this is really hard. Would it be okay with you if I prayed with you here and now? You know, not, oh, I'll pray for you. And then we go over to pray for them and, you know, it's just like a throwaway comment. You'll be in my prayers. Are they really? You know, but saying there and then, hey, would it be okay if I pray with you?
Yeah.
You know, I was coming out of the hospital the other day and, you know, I met somebody just outside the door of the hospital and I was going through a wee bit of a difficult situation with a relative who's ill. And they said to me, hey, could I pray with you? And standing at the hospital door, you know, just in front yeah. of everybody, put their hand on my shoulder and started yeah. crying, but it was a blessing. And you know, how would our world also be transformed if they saw more people just stopping in the street or wherever to pray with each other? You know,
isn't
it something to you, doesn't it? So just keeping it all as natural as possible. I remember once coming out, I went to see a man who was brave. His sister had died and he wasn't a Christian, and he kind of was talking around. His throwaway comment was, sure, we'll all be in the one place in the end of the day.
Yes.
And just as I was going out through his door, I said, are you sure about that? Or she's gone to heaven and she will all be there someday anyway, I think was what he said. I said, are you sure about that? Yeah. And I just got into the car and drove away and left that question with him. I didn't think any more about it. It was kind of just a glib comment. But about 2 hours later, I got a phone call to say, could you come back out again? And so I went out, and him and his wife both gave their lives to the Lord, you know. So that even throwaway comment,
amazing.
You know.
Isn't that great?
I think it's just always looking for the opportunities to bring Jesus in in some small but natural way.
Yes, very much so. Thank you. Louise, you go ahead. You're nodding your head there anyway. Yes, can you share with us on that?
I would agree probably with Ali in that, and it's being transparent and being very authentic with people. As disciples of Jesus, we are called to witness for him, and that can be done very very much about being relational with people, meeting us where we're at, and us meeting them where they're at, and being genuinely interested in them. It's not like what Alex said, I'll pray for you and you go away, and it's taking that opportunity to do it there and then with them. It's even doing things sometimes in a practical way to help people. I'm a great believer in that. Maybe signposting people to get help, or like preparing if somebody's sick, making them a meal, just sharing that love of God. And sometimes that will lead to opportunities to share the gospel. Maybe people will ask you, well, why did you do that? You know, and it opens up doors. But because people will look at us, sometimes they'll not always want to know what we've got to say, but if you're being authentic and real and open and honest, it's like, what are you doing, what it says in the tin? People has preconceptions of what Christians should be, but I think we have to show them Christ in a very real and tangible and meaningful way. Yet we are called to tell them the good news of the gospel. We're not just, it's not about just actions, but it's and my all-time favorite evangelist Billy Graham said, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love. And for me to love people, I want to share them. Jesus, I can't hold on just to Jesus myself. He's too good. I want to share and with others, and that's what we're called to do. Because I want other people to have that deep joy, that deep peace, and that love that I'm experiencing and know millions of people in the world's experiencing. So why keep that to yourself? You know what I mean? Because Jesus can transform us, you know. So
that's great. Well, listen, thank you. It's so good to hear all of those different ideas and stories, and just that openness. You all share different passages of scripture already, but I'd love you to share a passage of scripture that God has really used to help challenge and change your lives. Louise, I'll start with you.
Well, as we know, over the years, I've had a lot of scriptures that challenged and changed my life. But one passage probably in this last year that really has meant so much, and God challenged me and encouraged me through it. A while back, I suffered from burnout. I was, you know, the only thing I could come to was this passage. And it was sent to me through a WhatsApp message that I was in a group chat of. So it wasn't directly sent to me, but somebody had sent it on to me. And it was that from 1 Kings chapter 19 about Elijah being exhausted and sitting under the broom tree. And I found myself in a similar position. I couldn't really do too much, from going to the open in an envelope to suddenly sitting in front of the fire staring. It was a difficult time in my life, but I only needed, really, as what Elijah needed at that time, was to rest, eat and sleep. You see, there was eating in there again. But but when days when you couldn't really eat, it was hard. But and knowing that God was in control of everything, and usually I've seen God work in the fire and in the wind, and but he ministered in that gentle whisper. And that's how he ministered to me. At that time, it was in that gentle whisper. But it was being attentive and intentional to hear that gentle whisper, even though that time was very difficult. Because I took, again, going back to scripture, I took that passage of scripture. It was all I could read for about 2 or 3 months. And it was and I just kept a notebook beside me. And it was the one word, like the Lectio Divina, you know, just that one word, that one sentence. And I've actually a book full of the things that God spoke to me through that. Because I never, even in those times, I knew I was very assured that God was with me. Now, it sucked. It was hard. It was difficult. For suddenly, I felt very guilty. I was letting people down. But I've got to remember, I'm not God. He's God. Yeah. And I'm privileged that he wants to use me. But he can do all this without me. You know, he doesn't need Louise Davidson. I needed to be silent to hear him. And I think he done that. I was able to hear him in that. You know, he wants us to draw alongside, to be still. Because no matter what, I don't want to miss him in any moment of my life. Because he always renews and he always restores. And thankfully I'm back. So if there's an opening an envelope, I can go tell it.
Thank you. Esther, what about you? Is there a passage of scripture that has helped you, challenged you?
I just picked out one verse, and it's from quite a long time ago, but I thought I would choose this one because I think it's something that a lot of people think well into their adult life. But it's back from when I was much younger, when I thought that God only used certain people to speak for him. Special people who had a special calling from God for that purpose, to speak for him and to serve him. And one of the verses that corrected that idea was 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. And that made me realise that we're all chosen for a purpose. There's a so that in there, and that is we're all God's people to proclaim God's excellencies, to praise him before others. So the fact that this applies to every Christian, not just some people with a special calling, is something that I have carried with me. I wouldn't say I'm very good at it on a personal level. Put me at the front of a big group of people and just let me talk to them and I'm fine. But getting down a bit more personal, I'm less comfortable. But because of this verse, I know that my day-to-day life, whether that's at home or in a workplace, whether I'm doing some kind of activity or socialising, whether it's on social media or in a church setting, all of my day-to-day life should proclaim God's excellencies. And all God's people, even those of us who feel that, who am I to speak to other people about God? God wouldn't use me. I know there's a lot of people think that way, but all of us should always be proclaiming God's excellencies by what we do and also by what we say, and God will help us all as we do that.
Thank you. Ali?
I suppose one of my life scriptures, if you like, one of the passages of scripture that has been a constant impact on me is John 21, where Peter encounters Jesus after the resurrection there on the beach, and Jesus asks him 3 times the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And I've always felt with that passage that God is constantly asking me that question. Do you love me? Check your heart. Do you still love me? You know, is your love for me going cold? Is your love for me strong? Have you let it go weak? You know, and how then that challenge to come back to that place of passionate love, to renewing, rekindling the flame, if you like. But on the back of that, then always that, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Take care of them. Feed my lambs. You know that, and it's like that.
Yeah.
there's no greater privilege, is there? And that has been a big impact on my life, that, you know, if I love him, then my role, my job is, my call is to feed his sheep, to look after his lambs. You know, as Louise said, we know he can do that without us, but he does call us to play a role.
And so that has
been a really big one for me.
Those are all great reminders, honestly, from God's word. To us, you know, as his people, as his daughters in Christ, you know, and we do, as we want to seek to be faithful and effective servants, it's so good to be reminded of all of those different passages of scripture. And we do hope that those who are listening are going to be blessed, and I know they will. So thank you, Ali, Louise and Esther, for joining with us today and for sharing your hearts with us, not just your thoughts, for really helping us explore something of what it looks like to be transformed in Christ. And it really has given us an appetite, has whetted our appetites for our annual conference, Ali. We're really looking forward to you joining with us. And we hope that so many others will be excited as they listen to this podcast. I know I have found it very helpful. So before we finish today, I just want to remind you all that you're listening to keep an eye on PCI social media channels, where you can be kept up to date with what's going on across the denomination. But that's all for this episode, and we hope that you'll join us next time when Ruth Bromley will focus on the subject of families who are on the fringes of church life. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.